Hey, gang, Keenan McCardell is putting on his headsets as we speak after he takes care of 16 different things in his personal business. Before we get to on-air topics of discussion, like Lane Kiffin's first Stir It Up move, we told you about the basketball doubleheader coming up Saturday at Toyota Center. We told you how to get tickets. I've got another alternative for you. Caller number five right now. You at 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You're caller number five. You get a four-pack of tickets to the Lone Star Shootout. You get to see Texas A&M take on Arizona and Texas take on Arkansas in a nationally televised doubleheader. It's the Toyota Center. It's Saturday, December the 17th. It starts at 11 a.m. For event details or to get some tickets in case you don't win, HoustonToyotaCenter.com. Get yours today. I said it once, Nick. I'll say it again. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Caller number five.
Got a text that said Cousins is resting and not playing.
Yeah, I just saw that from Brett. And that's...
That was from Ben the Skeleton. He said, I might actually hurt the Rockets in a strange way because he usually plays so bad that maybe his role players step up for
him. Well, he plays so bad?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He's been tossed out of three of the last... I think it's three of the last five games here.
That's not and even when he playing
doesn't,
bad.
Even when he doesn't get tossed, right, he fouls out. I don't think he scored more than 15 points here. We used to always mention it. Like, for some reason, every time he rolled into H-Town, we were like, he's not going to be a factor.
I don't know. The nice city of H-Town does something to him. You know, maybe the night before, you know, they come in.
By the way, we used to get lambasted because I was telling you guys this story, but Boogie's just, he's the most gifted center in the league.
Definitely.
But there's just something that's not right about him. And I don't know, I'm not going to try and point fingers or pinpoint it, but I know from stories that, you know, he was temperamental at best. And like, if we mentioned it on air, we would get text messages and things that basically told us, don't you ever do that again because his mom's listening and, you know, he very well could be, you know, we very well could be interested in him someday or we love this guy. I'm like, we need a list of all the people you can't talk about.
So you mean we're going to get texts?
Not anymore. Although, you know what? Based on certain people in certain places, it is possible because other people at this station still get those texts.
Mm. I thought you meant like his friends are like we're sending the texts, but Rockets. No.
Wow, you said it on me. Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah,
but you're just telling the truth, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with the truth.
Yep.
If the truth hurts,
yeah, it was crazy. But I mean,
it set you free too.
And look, he's got all the talent in the world, and you know, Coach McHale, Vladdy wanted as the general manager. Coach McHale wanted him really bad,
right?
And Coach Mack called me and we were talking about it and said, what do you think? And I was like, well, you got a brand new arena, so people are going to want to be there. But you got to make a decision on that man in the middle. Either you like him and you're going to build around him, or you're going to have to do something with him. And you know the whole story. When you trade away a superstar, you never get equal value in return. So it's going to be tough. And Coach just decided the whole package just wasn't for him. And there has to be better offers out there. But, you know, the new ownership is a guy that doesn't have professional sports experience. He's a little bit different in a lot of things he does. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out because I know that, you know, like draft night when he was basically tweeting, what the hell are we doing?
Right.
And I, you know, it's just.
What about a trade deadline? You think he could be on the market?
Between now and the trade deadline, there's going to be a lot of decisions internally there to try and figure out either we're going to build around him and we just got to get over it, or it's time to make a change. You got a new building. You can get a new start, a new attitude, and see what you can get. Because there were rumors as earlier this week that said Boston was trying to get something done with him. You just signed Al Horford. But if you think that Boogie can make a difference, if there was some way that you could put Boogie at the five and Al Horford at the four, Nick, we're talking about a team legitimate low post presence that could make a difference. Or Barry, to your point about points in the paint, Boston would be a different team.
What do you give up for Boogie? What do you give up for DeMarcus?
I think what it really comes down to is how fed up are the Kings? Because if they're just cutting ties, they're probably going to do more, not a fire sale, but they'll probably be willing to take draft picks and a lot of young talent.
Right.
But if they still value him, then maybe whether Horford's in the discussion or not, and with the contract, with the money he's making, there's got to be some pretty significant pieces moved the other way to try and make it come within 15%.
I think he has to go to a team with a strong head coach.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, yep.
I said Coach Mack would be a guy that could probably get to him, but there aren't many.
There's not many. I mean, you look around the league, who do you think
Look at his old guy. Look at what George Karl did.
Yeah.
He tried the tough guy approach, and George Karl got fired less than a year after signing a five-year deal.
I would love to see him in San Antonio.
Yeah, you got to respect Pop. And I think he does
because of the USA stuff.
Pop's a guy with USA. You think about Thibodeau.
Yep.
Thibodeau because Thibodeau's he was with the USA, and he's a disciplinarian. But
they got some pieces that...
But does that work with a guy like him? The disciplinarian role?
See, I don't know.
He has the respect. I think he's about respect.
He has to be responsive to it.
I think he's about respect. If you bring something to the table for him, he'll respect it, and then he'll respond. That's why I say somebody that's been in the USA training camp, that's coached on the USA team, I think that's somewhere he needs to go.
Safe to say anybody that's been around that USA team with Jerry Colangelo over the last 5 to 10 years, they respect everybody that's involved in it.
Philly.
Look what it did with James.
Philly has a lot of pieces to send out west.
Yeah. You know what? And they're willing to part with a lot of them. They'll give up Noel. I don't think they'll give up Embiid.
No,
but they'll give up Okafor and they'll give up Noel, and they've got pieces. Now, can you get the money to come up within 15% of the cap? That's a different story.
You know, Embiid, Cousins, Simmons. It's not a bad team.
I'm not giving up Ben Simmons.
No, I'm not saying.
Oh,
those three to start your team. You give up everybody else.
Yeah, but I don't think everybody else has got enough. Look, they were fighting to stay at the minimum. Picks. They were trying to stay in the minimum for salary cap. So I don't think that they have enough pieces. We got to get a lot done with you because there's a lot of things I want to get comments and opinions on. Funny thing was, we mentioned Lane Kiffin gets the deal at Florida Atlantic, and a day later, he signs DeAndre Johnson. The quarterback, and the name might not ring a bell with you right off the top, but he was the quarterback at Florida State who ended up punching the woman in the bar, and that became a big issue. I want to get your opinion on that because you and Travis and I were talking about it Friday after the show just randomly, and you guys said, look, there was a lot more details to that story than were said, but the kid can play.
The kid can absolutely play. He's the most prolific passer in Florida high school history. I mean, I think he's a guy that everybody knows that he can push the ball down the field.
You recruited him at Maryland,
correct? I recruited him at Maryland. I mean, he's a kid that's very talented, very talented. And I think by him, he was committed to Florida State since his freshman year. So that's how good he was. I mean, and, you know, I think the situation that happened in the bar was unfortunate. You know, it was a learning experience for him. You know, you shouldn't put your hands on women,
right?
But you know, you got to understand some of the things didn't come out. But me as a dad, I would just say, man, you can't put your hands on a woman. But you learn your lesson. Now you get a second chance. What are you going to do with your second chance? And Lane Kiffin took a chance on him because he probably needed a talented thrower at FAU. And you know what? He's stirring the pot up a little bit, and I like it. I mean, Lane's a different. He flies by a different beat. You know, I think you know, he's gonna go down to FAU and he's gonna be successful.
I want to know what didn't come out. You just glossed over that fact.
Well, you know,
there are things that didn't come out that maybe sway the.
You know, some of the things that didn't come out is that, you know, she approached him. She need him first
in the groin.
In the groin, so. You know, he was just reacting, but still, you know, you as a teenager, you can't respond to everything, especially you were underage.
I was going to say, what are you doing in a bar?
In a bar.
17, 18 years old.
At 17, 18 years old. I mean, you can't be there for one.
Yep.
I mean, you're trying to be the leader of a Division I program that's a pretty big program, and this is how you lead your team. You know, that's one thing, and then, you know, it's everybody's saying, well, no, he shouldn't have hit her, but she hit him first. She was drunk. I mean, and that's what happens. You got to, your decisions, you know, when you're in situations like that, you got to think about the consequences. And I think, you know, he just reacted as a young 17-year-old. He was just leaving high school. He was an early enrollee. So my thing is this, you know, it's something that it was a tough teaching lesson for him, but now you get a second chance. So you have to show people that you're better than what you were before.
And a lot of people beg for a second chance, never get it. And he's getting one now. He's got to make the most of it.
And he has to make the most of it, and he's with a great offensive-minded coach that should help him get to where he wants to be. The kid is an unbelievable talent. He's a great competitor. You know,
does he need a disciplinarian? We're just talking about Boogie Cousins like that. Does he need a disciplinarian?
Not really. I mean, kid is a great kid. I mean, I've talked to his high school coach before, and he's a leader. I mean, just bad situation, you know. I think that, you know, he's learned. He has a lot of people that's close to him that have told him, you know, it was your fault, but now you get a second opportunity. Let's go.
Yeah, you got to learn something from it. Much more with Keenan McCardell and Barry. Just want to take a second here to tell you it's the holiday season. And when you're out being thankful for what you have, when you look in the mirror in the morning and you look at your family or look at, you know, what you've been given, it's time to be a giver as well and spread the unstoppable joy of the season of giving by visiting Finish Line stores across the nation. And there are tons here in the Houston area, in Pearland, in most of the malls that you like to go to. And for the fifth year, Finish Line, the premium athletic shoe and apparel retailer, is partnering with Special Olympics. Over 5 million Special Olympics athletes are competing every day in 170 countries worldwide, inspiring fierce competitors, defying stereotypes, breaking down barriers for inclusion, and at the same time, really doing some neat things, and then there's some great stories. If you shop at your local Finish Line store or online at finishline.com and donate at your checkout to the Special Olympics, you don't realize what a difference you can make. The clock's running out. Game is on. Finish Line now until December 24th, and make a difference. Help spread unstoppable joy this holiday season. Make a donation to the Special Olympics. You can shop the latest styles from Nike, Adidas, Brand Jordan, and other favorite brands at the newly remodeled Pearland Town Center store, or you can find the closest Finish Line store to you at finishline.com. Spread the joy this holiday season. Get some season of thanks in the meantime. Give some thanks to the people at Special Olympics. Donate at checkout.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Keenan McCardell, along with Nick behind the glass till 4 o'clock. Got a whole laundry list of things to get to. Your Texans are still on track for 4-1.
I told you guys.
Okay, at least for 1 week you got to say.
Next week? I mean, this week is coming up against the Jaguars.
You were just there. By the way, I want to mention, it's always great, and you saw me, I tweeted it. When they honor you, when they bring back the greatest Jags for alumni stuff, I always think that's cool, and they put Jimmy Smith in their
Ring of Pride.
Ring of Pride, that was cool.
That was
you
really
saw
cool.
The Jaguars, and they hung in there with the Vikings. Your thoughts early on Texans going on the road to Jacksonville to take on a divisional opponent?
I think they will handle their business.
Yeah,
I really do. I think Jacksonville is a team that's ready for the season to end. Hate to say that, my old team, but they are ready for the season to end. You can kind of tell. They played hard for...
I thought they actually had a chance
to win
that game.
I mean, and to say that they had an opportunity to win is not saying a lot for Minnesota right now, because Minnesota, to me, is one-dimensional, and they can't run the football. They were on the goal line.
Peterson practicing today, but I don't know how effective he's going to be.
It doesn't matter. He can be him just being on the field helps their chances, because what they had at running back was not good at all. I mean, Asiata couldn't get in from the one a couple times. I mean, McKinney's too small to run it between the tackles all the time to be every down back. And and the Jacksonville Jaguars defense played really well. I mean, you're not just gonna go to Jacksonville and just say, okay, you know, we're gonna walk over these guys, because they're gonna give you a fight. But you just gotta take it out of them early. I mean, you can't let them stay in the game. Minnesota let them stay in the game, stay around, and they thought they had life, and it was a dogfight to the end.
Yeah, this is a team that, to me, you should be able to fix what ails you on offense, but we keep saying that, and the Texans are unable to do it. Again, last week against the Colts defense that's not very good, 5 trips to the red zone, 1 touchdown. You got to get better at that, especially if you expect to do anything in the playoffs. And this is a team that, as good as they are or they might be on defense, you should still be able to put up points against these Jags. But with the ineptness of the passing game that the Texans have, I don't know if that's going to be the case, which I would be fine with. Just run it down their throat, keep the ball for, you know, 25 minutes of the game, get out of there with a win. Let's all look forward to the next week. But these are those games that scare me a lot because you tend to play down to your competition.
Yep.
You tend to relax a little bit more than you probably should. We talked to Tim.
I think that's what Minnesota did too. Yeah. They played down to competition, and you're right. This is a trap game because you got two big games after this. This is a really trap game for the Texans.
And Quentin Demp said it best. It's also a divisional game, so it's not just you're playing any 2-11 team.
It's a divisional game.
It's a scary proposition. So
because if you look past this game to Cincinnati, who's playing pretty good right now, they'll jump up and bite you. I mean, so
they got talent now. I mean, they're a playoff team. I mean, they're less than a year away previously of being a playoff team and a consistent playoff team, so they can beat you.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And if you're looking, don't look forward to that Tennessee game and look past a team with as much talent as Tennessee.
Right. I mean, I'm not looking that far ahead because they got to take care of Jacksonville. I mean, because, you know, they'll jump up and bite you.
I said to them, you know it best. You've talked about this, but you can talk in depth about how good those three young receivers are with Lee and Robinson and
Hearns. And the only thing about that situation is that the quarterback is playing so bad. I mean, I watched some bad football at quarterback on Sunday. And I, to be honest with you, to give him an out, I think he's hurt and he doesn't want to come out. I really do. I think he hurt his shoulder in Detroit, and you could tell the next week he played, didn't throw very well. This week against Minnesota, looked bad. I mean, was missing some wide open guys. I don't know if that's just because he couldn't do it, but I think that you have to put pressure on this guy early, and if you put pressure on him early, you'll get him gunshot because his shoulder is hurt, and that's how you win. You gotta beat Blake Bortles up.
There you have it. We got more with Keenan McCardle in just a minute. I want to take a minute right now to tell you about Infuse Energy. It is a locally owned and operated energy company that whether you have a business or you're just worried about getting the right energy package and plan for your home, they will take care of you. They will make sure that they always have customer-friendly people available via phone for your customer service needs. And they'll make sure that you're 100% happy with your plan and the honest way that they treat your account. Josh Pesikoff is the local owner and CEO of the company, and he does a great job with his crew. I've been to the office before. I've talked to these people. I know that when calls come in, they actually have a human being standing by to take the calls, and they are a company that has your back with hassle-free energy, and every single time they provide a program that's right for you. If you don't use nights and weekends, but you use a lot of energy during the day because you're a business, they'll make a plan. If you have a lot of time at home at night, but during the day, no one's home, they have a plan. 100% green energy at your fingertips. Sign up and choose a green plan. Offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits, and that decreases your carbon footprint. They build high valuable relationships. The quality of your experience is the number one focus of Infuse Energy. They'll never waver from that. If you ever consider leaving for any reason other than price, they want to know about the problem, and they want to fix it. I think that's all you can ask for in an energy company. Clear understanding of what your plan is, what you get, and there's no one trying to confuse you or deceive you or try and trick you. It's Infuse Energy. Call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. You use the promo code ESPN975, and right off the top, $25 bill credit, Infuse Energy.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
You've been thinking hard, Mac, about your favorite tennis shoes of all time?
My favorite
your
tennis
shoes? Your top fives? Doesn't have to be just Jordan.
Oh, my top five? Oh, I got it.
All right, think about it. We'll get to it.
We got to get to
important stuff.
Go ahead. Come on, get to the important stuff.
All right,
stuff.
So Joel Berry and Mac, along with Nick Sharara behind the glass, Keenan McCardell with us till 4. I wanted to get to some things that you have some experience with. One of them was... we talked to Quentin Demps yesterday about, first of all, the smack talking that's been going on. Terrell Pryor Jr. had to be saying something because Janoris Jenkins attacked him after a game on Twitter. Then last week, Pac-Man Jones said, "I'm only talking about Pryor," and he grabbed a garbage can and said, "Are you in there? Are you in there?" And he kept. I mean,
and this is the new Pac-Man Jones. I played Pac-Man Jones when he was the real. I like
make
Adam
it rain,
Jones.
Make
yes.
it rain, Pac-Man
it's
Jones.
Adam Jones.
That's
now,
right. That's right.
When I played, when he was Pac-Man Jones, when he was really out there, and to get Adam Jones to to do what he did in the locker room, it's got to be some talking. But that position on both sides, it's a lot of talking. It's a lot of talking going on.
I'm surprised outside. We don't see more of that when you consider.
Well, it depends on who the person is also. And, you know, to be honest with you, Adam, you know, and Janoris are like, dude, you haven't did anything.
Yeah.
Show us.
Yeah.
On a consistent basis before you can start talking.
Dez and Josh Norman. Josh Norman the week before with Beckham. Everybody saying, you're garbage, and I'm going to tweet plays all week of how bad you are. It's just, you know, we talked to Quentin Demps yesterday about you guys are a fraternity, and it's a business. And one year you might be against each other next year. So how much of it is just kind of playful? And it seems like lately it's getting a lot more personal.
Well, I'll tell you this. I wish somebody was talking to us, because it only made you, like, you want to talk noise? Okay, let's get it. Let's get it. When I ring up 100 plus and a couple touchdowns on you,
that's the amazing thing
and
to me.
It's like, now shut up.
It's amazing thing to me about athletes is how you guys are able to do that. Like, not everybody. Like, if you were to challenge most people, it's really difficult to rise to that and then rise above it and be better than that. And you know what I mean? Guys get in your head, and that's always, I think that's what makes athletes special, and that you have that extra, that not a sixth sense, but that you have that ability to take on that challenge. That's why you guys keep playing after high school and a lot of us stop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's always fascinated me to see that, because that's literally all that is, it seems like, once you get to college and beyond. It's those challenges that you meet and exceed every time you're on the field.
And you know, and I try to teach the young kids, you know, you have to be a competitor. You have to be able to withstand adversity and still be able to come out on top when you have some adversity. Mm-hmm. And when people are trash talking to you, it's trying to, you know, get your mind off the game. Try to put some adversity in your life and see how you handle adversity. And, you know, and then what I like about it is if they can handle it, there's an opportunity for them to maybe play at the next level. But also, if they can handle it just a little bit, when they step out in the real world, they can handle real world situations and the things that go on in real world. It's not a game anymore. The game of football have taught you how to handle some adversities, and you got to be able to respond. So, you know, with Terrell Pryor, you know, my big thing to him is like, you know, and I think Hugh got on him about what he expects out of a Cleveland Brown player. And he's right. Let's establish something first before we just become the trash talking team of all. I mean, we haven't did anything to talk trash.
Yeah, why are you're winless this year? I have them winning a game.
And to the point we made in the break, Cincinnati, Hugh Jackson came out, the head coach, and said, look, the unwritten thing here is what we probably need to get a handle on, which is, he's got to be doing something to instigate all this, and he needs to tone that down, because that's not the culture that Hugh's trying to build at Cleveland. So I applaud him for saying that and saying he's going to get a handle on it, because where this translates to next is, there's one thing to have trash talk. There's another thing totally different in some of the dirty stuff that was going on this weekend. Wow. And there was plenty. Yes.
Well, I mean, to finish on that, they're 0-12.
Right.
And you're talking trash. Everybody's laughing when they come to Cleveland, okay? Yeah. So they figure that you guys are trash. You guys have given it up. But getting to the dirty stuff that happened this weekend, whew, you know.
Now we asked Quentin Demps a little bit about it yesterday, right? And he's a defensive player, and I wanted to get from an offensive perspective, because I made the point, as much as it's the unpopular point, the block was legal that Harry Douglas put on the Broncos, but it got Akeem Tlaib pretty fired up, as I think it should get anybody. And my point to you in the break was, okay, it's legal, right? And as you said, you could have hit him in the mouth. But my biggest problem was it was so far away from the ball in the play. It was completely unnecessary. And thank God it didn't end his career, but it could have done some serious damage.
One thing he will do is always keep his head on a swivel. Now he'll always keep his eyes on the person that's in front of him.
But they were looking face to face. But he was
looking. I've been in a situation with DBs. They're looking past you, thinking that, okay, we're so far away from the ball. He's not going to do anything. We're just going to kind of chicken fight with this. Eric Douglas said, man, we're going to get physical. We're trying to get in the playoffs. You are the defending champions, and I'm going to get after your butt. So Harry Douglas is doing his job. He's getting after him, you know, but at times, you know, everybody hates when receivers go low, but nobody hates when a defender hits a receiver defenseless, right? I mean, so this is the way to even out the game. But me, myself, I tell my guys, if you can see him in his eyes, you can hit him in his eyes. I mean, you can hit him dead in his mouth. If you can see his eyes, hit him in the mouth. And yeah, right then, you know, I guarantee you, Nick Harris was not looking at Harry Douglas. And that's why it caught him off guard. Like I saw the play. It caught him off guard that he went down low, because he was getting ready to put his hands up to chicken fight with him. And he dropped down and cut him low. Keep your eyes on your work. Always keep your eyes on your work, and it won't happen. You know, because I am a former receiver coach. I am a former receiver. So you know,
you're not teaching that though, Keenan. Are you?
They say malarkey teaches that.
You're teaching that.
You know, some coaches.
You're teaching that when you're that far away from the play, dive at his knee.
Your job.
You're teaching that.
Your job is to keep him off the play. So if that ball breaks, and you're over there, and your guy
makes
the tackle.
Bust him in the mouth. Yeah. Bust him in the mouth.
And he makes the tackle.
But diving right at his knee. I mean, his helmet hit his knee. That uncalled for.
I got a question for you. When I'm up in the air dangling for the ball.
Well, that's a tackle. That's totally different.
Well, it's a block. What's the difference?
Because it's.
What is the difference?
It was an unnecessary block.
What is the difference?
That far away from the ball, it's diving at a dude's knee.
It's unnecessary for him to hit me in the head while I'm up
in
there.
No, he's got to make a tackle.
I got to make my block. I have to make my block.
He's trying to dislodge the ball from you for making that catch.
I'm trying to get him on the ground so my running back can get to the end zone.
All right. I don't know that block makes or breaks that run. If they would have stood there and looked at each other, it would have been the same.
Before we got to get out of here,
that play.
Let's get to the ones I'm talking about, because I'm sure you saw my Richard Sherman again away from the play. Devontae Adams is watching, and he loads up and unloads a forearm in the small of his back and crushes him, which is not looking him in the eye.
So now he's not. So that's far away from the play, Mr. Barry. And now it's the DB doing it. So what do we do here?
Oh, well, that's all right. No,
did you see the play I'm talking about?
I know exactly what play you're talking about.
I know you saw it because I tweeted it.
So
it's
the same thing.
But are you cool with that?
If you're a receiver, past that play.
Wait. You're taught to play till the whistle. So I'm not. It happened.
But it's in his back.
You play till the whistle.
Yeah,
if that's
just
the way.
Eye to eye.
I understand. Eye to eye. But you play to the whistle. That's what people don't realize. A lot of guys in the secondary relax because, oh, it's over there. But you have a guy that's playing to the whistle, and not to the whistle, to the echo of the whistle. The echo of the whistle. So the whistle has already blown, and you hear the echo of the whistle. You play to the echo of the whistle.
It's a dirty play, man. You can hurt someone, hit them in the back.
Of the whistle. You should never take a break out on the football field.
Man, I get your point, but even still, hit him in the shoulder pads, hit him somewhere where you're looking man-to-man, eye-to-eye. Don't cheap shot him in the back.
I understand don't cheap shot him in the back, but
he got his later
Harry
in the
Douglas
game.
Did you play to the echo of the whistle?
Hey, I have a question for you. Do the Browns win a game this year?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
It's been done already, right?
Why would you? You want to make sure you have the number one pick.
I think they pretty much got that anyway, but...
Yeah. Well,
no, I understand your
point. San Francisco.
Barry, I understand your point.
Somebody said, Mac, this is bats. Come on, man. You know that's wrong.
It's bats. Bats. Come on now. Play to the whistle.
Thank you, bats. I don't know who you are, but I appreciate it.
Bats, no. You play to the whistle. Which one is wrong, bats? Sherman or Harry Douglas?
Yeah.
Tweet that, bats. Come on. Let's go. I know who you are, bats. Come on.
We don't have
Jeff
time.
Fisher gone. Deserved it.
Yes, he was one win away, one loss away from being the worst.
He's tied. He's tied with Dan Reeves.
We talked about it Friday.
Most losses in NFL.
I don't feel bad for him because he got the extension. We talked about it Friday that his record is 50-50. But any thoughts on who takes the job?
That's going to be a great job.
I want to get to it. I know it's running out of time. I said Gruden back that.
I think Gruden's going to stay in the box
at $6.5 million. Trapp looked it up at $6.5 million a year to do TV. He's in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, he's in a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're gonna throw the checkbook at Jim Harbaugh.
But he's already said he's not going anywhere. He's got a job for life if he wants to stay at Michigan.
He has a job for life, but something about playing and coaching at the highest level.
We'll see. That's why we got him in here. Keenan McCardell, every Wednesday, 3:30 to 4. As always, I appreciate it, Mac, for Barry Laminack and for Nick Shirara. I'm Joel Blank. Join us again as the three of us will be back again Thursday for a pre-weekend edition, 1 to 4 p.m. ESPN 97.5.